I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and no spoilers, we'll get to what new type of guy I am later, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say, ooh, hi!
Ooh, hello! I'm Soren Bowie. As Daniel said, I'm a television writer for American Dad, and I'm so excited to hear what type of people Dan is now.
Yeah. Do you have any guesses?
Yes, you're mountain people.
Do. I'm mountain people now, that's right.
Oh, I knew it. I had such a good feeling about that.
Recently in Colorado for a wedding, and because of work remote situations, every one day event that I have to do, I'm going to turn into like a week of staying somewhere new just because you can. So I had a week in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I did some like ran the gamut of what can be considered hiking, just like very basic nature walks around like Devil's Backbone in Fort Collins area, and like slightly more challenging 5K up something called Arthur's Rock, which has like 1,000-foot elevation change. And then a 10K in Boulder at Bear Canyon, which had a massive elevation change, especially at the end, and you get some great 360 views at the top. And then the last day before I went back home, did my first outdoor rock climbing, where you're like, you're in a harness and you've got a rope, and I'm that type of person now. I'm a climber now. I'm very, not just a mountain person, not just hiking. I am climber now.
Now, do you know what the rating was on the climb you did?
No.
Okay. Were you wearing actual climbing shoes?
Yes. I was borrowing the bride and groom for this wedding took me and my friend Elise out the Monday after the wedding to go climbing. And they had spare harnesses and helmets and all the gear that we would want. And we just traded shoes back and forth.
Okay. That's called top roping.
Yeah.
And did somebody go up, like, did somebody lead climb it and set the top rope, or did they walk up around the top of it and set it?
There was, we pull off the side of the road, and it's like a 5 or 7 minute walk to the top of this cliff overlooking water. And there are like already anchors set up at the top. This is a popular climbing area, so there are anchors there. The groom attached his stuff to that anchor, and he climbed down by himself. The rest of us sort of found a way to scramble down and meet him at the bottom.
Okay, so you guys are up at the I see. Yeah, so that's great. That's like a great introduction, because your outdoor climbing is very, very different than indoor climbing. And
yes.
I would say like a million times better, because I know you meditate, Dan. And when you're sitting there on the rock trying to like find your next handhold, it could be anything. It's not like you have like, there's like, you don't have like four options and you know what they look like because they're all bolted into a wall. You're just like, okay, let's see.
Yeah.
Could I use that? No, that's going to peel away. Oh, that. And like, you got, oh, this is all dusty. Like you find it as you go. And it's so like, it's all you think about in the moment. It's wonderful.
Yeah. There's a lot more, make it up as you go than I thought there would be. There's still like, you can see, if there's a part of the rock face that is super chalky, you can put together that like, yeah, people have used that a lot. Yeah. So that's probably a good way to go. But there's not like, when I sat with the people we were with before doing it, I wanted to know like, all right, so what route are you taking? What path are you taking? And they're just like, well, we're going to go up. We're going to use our hands and feet and our bodies, and we're going to go up this thing until we're at the top. And there really is a whole lot of, like, pausing midway through the thing and being like, all right, now what? Let me try to, like, scramble to the side. Let me move laterally to see if that's any better. Nope. All right, back to this other part. And really just, like, figuring out in a way that felt, like, cool and natural. Thanks to Everlywell for supporting Quick Question. Everlywell is a digital healthcare designed for Everlywell is digital healthcare designed for you, all at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need, like the women's health test or food sensitivity test. Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off on at-home lab tests at everlywell.com/QQ. This episode is brought to you by Jiminy's, maker of sustainable dog food made with cricket protein. Cricket protein is a superfood that is delicious, nutritious, and easy to digest for dogs. Save 25% on your first purchase. Go to jiminy's.com/QQ25 and use code QQ25 at checkout.
Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. With Raycons, you can get the same quality audio as other premium audio brands, but at half the price. Go to raycon.com/QQ to get 15% off your order. Exclamation point! No, we had a saying, Dan, when I would climb 40 years ago. whenever I used to climb in a different life, there was no falls, no hangs, no slips, no drips, no errors. And what that means is, like, as you're climbing, if you're never using the heart, like, your weight is never on the rope at all. Mm-hmm. There's always, like, some slack in the rope. Every single move you're doing, like, you're not, your feet aren't, like, scraping down the wall of it, that you're, as you move, like, you may not always put your hand or foot in the right place, but, like, it's, everything is really deliberate, and you just make it up the wall without anything that looks like, oh, that was a mistake. And trying to flash a route, which means, like, you're just gonna, you get to the bottom of it, you look at it, and then you send it, and, like, on the first try. That was, like, that was the best thing you could possibly do on a climb. Mm-hmm. Did you do that on this climb?
No, I think because it was my first time, and the bride and groom and their friend, who's also a regular climber, they've like done this introductory climb with a bunch of people. I was getting a tremendous amount of help from the very fit 200-pound person who was belaying me. Yeah, there was a lot. I saw pictures of myself afterwards where I'm just like. Hands and knees perfectly parallel to the wall, like Spider-Man. I was like, okay, so that's not entirely me.
Yeah, there is definitely, you could, if you're belaying somebody and they're like, they're stuck in a section, you could, it doesn't take much for you to just like essentially lift them past that section.
Yes, yeah. And I do think that happened at one point where I was really struggling with one part of this difficult climb. And then I heard the guy from down below was like, hey, you made it past that one section, so I think you could just move your foot there now. And I was like, I don't remember moving it past that section, but here I am.
I have so many questions because climbing was, I was reincarnated as whatever I am now, and sure. I used to be a climber. But did you belay at all?
No.
Okay.
I think they really... These friends of mine really like have this down at this point to like introduce new people to climbing and give them the easiest possible track to do it.
Did you enjoy the language of belaying?
Like climb on, belay on?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that shit. Give me some codes and rituals. Absolutely, 100%.
Oh my God. It's like it's just fits right into that wheelhouse of mine of like, these are the rules and this is how it goes. And this, and you're like, you're told what to do. And if you do it right, then that's how you live. And I'm like, yeah. I love that. I love that. Cause for people who don't know, you see on somebody's belaying, that means that they've got the other end of the rope while you're climbing and they've got this device called an ATC and like the rope's just feeding through it. And they're using both hands on that. There's like a real skill to it because you can't let go with one particular hand or the other person could die. And at the beginning of the climb, the person who's on belay says, or the person who's climbing says belay on, and the person says on belay. and then they check the ropes. They make sure that the person who's climbing has a figure eight tied into their knot tied into their harness, and then a little safety knot at the top. They like examine it for the other person, so there's a double check there, and then they say, okay. And then the climber says, okay, climbing. And you say, climb on. And like, that's like a real like back and forth. It's like Marco Polo thing that happens every single time for every climber. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's great. And so that's why I'm a climbing guy now. And I'm looking up new equipment that I could buy for my climbing lifestyle. I feel like such a strange child lunatic that every year when Christmas or my birthday rolls around and I tell my parents, my family, everyone in my life is like, hey, I'm into this now. I know last year I wanted you guys to chip in and buy me an easel and some paints, but forget all that. It's climbing now.
What about your fishing, Dan? Fuck fishing.
Who even is talking about fishing?
Fishing, that's killing animals. I've always been against that.
I'm a vegan climber. What is happening?
Well, you'll be excited to know that I found a new thing I didn't know existed. Have you heard of REI Resupply?
Yeah. Is that in... They have like their own stores for that now, right? Or is it just...
Yeah. It's Nordstrom Rack for REI.
Yeah.
When I found out about this, I lost my shit a couple days ago, because we're going camping with Ronan and Gilly very soon. And there's a bunch of things that I clearly don't have for Gilly yet, like a sleeping bag. And I don't have a two burner stove. I wanted to get a big camping mat, like a big, big one that we could all sleep on. Just one second. Yeah, just leave it. Yeah. And so there's like tons of stuff that I wanted to get. And so I went to REI and I'm kind of like looking around and I'm like, fuck, I forgot how expensive camping stuff was.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking around with this guy, he's being very helpful. And he's like, hey, you know, you could try and find a stove over at the REI Resupply. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, oh, there's like two stores over. There's this place where you go that all the returns come there that are too damaged or too whatever to not go back on the sales floor. So it could be that they just didn't have their box anymore. Could be a lot of different things. Somebody used it, like a sleeping bag that has some hair in it. They won't put that back out on the floor. And so all the stuff goes out to the REI Resupply. And I went there. It got everything, like everything and a bunch of other stuff that I didn't know I needed there. Because it was like everything I could possibly need. There, I found the mat that I wanted for like less than, it was like 60% off. And I was like, they're like, but it leaks. And I'm like, yeah, I know how to fix a leak. It's fine. And so just took it home. It has a patch kit with it. You just find the leak, fixed it. And it was took me like half an hour. And now it's the best mat in the world.
Yeah.
But they had climbing shoes there. And I was like, do I want to get back into climbing?
I think you do.
The opportunity is here. There's a gym that's very close to me. Outdoor climbing, closest place is like Malibu. But there is climbing to be had here.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think if you want to strengthen our relationship, it would really go like it's in any relationship. It shows to the other person how much you care if you take an interest in things that are important to them. So like for me, it's climbing. If you would just show an interest in climbing, which I've always been passionate about, that would really be meaningful to me.
It is. Yeah. It is strange that I haven't until this point, because this has been such a lifestyle thing for you for so long.
Why do you think I moved so far away from you?
Because I shoehorned running into this podcast so frequently. I should have been focused on your real passion.
Absolutely.
Well, and
I moved away from Los Angeles to New Jersey where climbing abounds.
I don't even know where you'd go. You have to go to the Poconos?
I'm going to go to the Gunks in upstate New York, sort of like Catskills area.
Okay,
there's
cool.
Some really beautiful pictures online if you want to look it up. And they're also scary. Every picture of the climbing is scary, I've found.
Well, so there's different types of climbing, obviously, you know, at this point, because you've...
Yeah.
You're climbing people, but there's... Yeah.
I'm the guy... I am... Free Solo. I'm John Solo from that movie.
From that movie. Okay. So trad climbing. Have you heard of that?
No. Who's he?
Trad climbing is he's the next guy below Joe Solo.
Oh, wow.
No. Trad climbing is climbing with like it's not sport climbing. There's no like anchors along the way, or there's no little bolts along the way. There's just, you're just like on a rock face that no one has touched, and you're climbing it, and you're setting gear as you go. You're setting these little nuts. There's all kinds of little tools that you can like cram into slots to try and like protect yourself. But if you fall on that stuff and it doesn't, it just like rips right out of the wall. And like a lot of times when people do trad climbing, they'll set lots and lots of gear because they know that when they fall, at least like two of those are going to rip out. And then you end up falling like 30 feet before you catch on something, before you catch on a nut or something. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And I don't get it.
And I gotta plunge all these nuts into the gunks. It's gonna be so tough.
But there's sport climbing and like lead climbing and sport climbing, and that's way more, I think, yours and my speed. What that is like you've got a sling on around your shoulder, and on it are what are called quick draws, which are carabiners on each end of this little piece of climbing webbing. It's like a foot long of climbing webbing, and as you're going up. As you get to an anchor, you're just popping one off your sling, hooking it onto the bolt that's in the wall, and then setting your rope through it, like feeding your rope through the other end. And so as you fall, anytime that you fall, you're never going to fall further than that anchor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it is scary. It's because there's definitely between anchors, there's maybe like, depending on the route, there can be like 15 feet. So that means that when you fall, if you fell all the way to the next anchor, you're not only falling that 15 to the previous one, but the rope now has an extra 15 feet in it. So you're falling 30. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, don't, as long as you're doing routes that are like, oh no, this is, you know, your wheelhouse, like, you know, like I'm like a 5'9" climber. I'm not going to go any higher than that or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you know, when you're on a 5'9" route, you're like, oh, I know I can just do this. And then as you're going, you're just setting these. And it feels so cool to be setting them and like setting the anchor at the top. It's like, that's where you start feeling like, I think I might be a climber. I think I'm really good at this.
I think I'm pretty far off from setting anchors personally. Oh,
I don't think so. I think you'd find that you could do it pretty. If somebody just showed you, you'd be like, okay,
yeah.
When I get up there, I'll set that.
Yeah. My coworker's a big climber, and I was talking to him about this, and he's very excited, and he has sent me a whole bunch of gear to check out, which is not, I look at any opportunity to go to REI, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take it all. But he is completely jumped very far ahead in my climbing life.
What's he sending you?
He is sending me, I want to make sure I find this exact thing. Hold, please. Yeah, he was sending me this one Black Diamond climbing package, but the problem he describes with this one is the ATC belay device it comes with is good, but I'm not going to want that because I'm going to want to climb multi-pitch, where you climb up to the anchor, gather the rope, and then keep climbing up after you get to the top, and I'll need a different type device for that. And I'm like, I'm not sure I'm ready for all that.
He wants to take you on a multi-pitch climb.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that sounds cool.
It does.
It's terrifying, though.
I've climbed once.
Yeah. Boy. And he says, so that ATC doesn't work for a multi-pitch? I mean, I guess I've never really done a true multi-pitch.
I it's going to shock you, but neither have I.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy. I mean, it was in your blood that you haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
You know what that is, though, right?
Blood? Yeah.
No,
I'm not a coward.
Multi-pitch is, so you like, I guess what he's probably talking about is you get to a level of where there's like natural rock where you can like, you can set up shop and you're okay.
Yeah,
you feel
yeah.
comfortable on a ledge. But you look at people like they're doing half dome or something like that. L cap. That they, as they're going up, like it's just a rock face. So they get up to a certain point where their rope basically doesn't go any further. And they're like, all right, we'll set up here. And then they bivouac there, which means that they set up like a little platform, a fabric platform up there on the side of the wall. And they're like, okay, let's go up the rest of the way. And that's wild to me. I've never done anything like that.
I don't yet have it in me to do the scarier and harder version of a thing that is already pretty scary and hard. I'm going to spend a little time doing this novice level scary and hard before I work up, if I ever work up to something else.
I have a big question for you.
Go.
And this is a safe place. You can be honest here. you got to the top and you touched the anchor, and then they're like, okay, come on down. What did you do?
Slap my ass. What are you supposed to do?
Did you just lean back? Like, you're like, I trust this rope completely, and now I will belay down and I'll just lean back all the way.
Yeah.
Or did you freak out up there?
No, I leaned back. I trusted this person who I'd met two nights ago with my entire life, with my literal life. And even the first person who belayed me was the groom, and then the second person who belayed me was a friend of the groom. And as he was like offering to blame me, he was like, now I understand if you want to go with him, if you know him better. Like truly, I understand. Relationships are important. And I was like, that fucking rules. I trust you. You're awesome. That's the best.
More like relationships. Get on there. I'm going up.
Did you not hear me say relationships?
Oh, fuck. No, I thought you said relationships.
No, he said it. And then I said it to you. And that's why I liked him.
Yeah. I don't know that I like him anymore.
This is what I'm talking about, where I feel like you're not taking an active interest in the things that are important to me.
Take action today for a healthier tomorrow with Everlywell. Their at-home lab tests and vitamins and supplements can help you get the knowledge and support you need so you can become a healthier you. Hey, you ever walk into a store and you wonder to yourself, oh boy, there are a lot of vitamins here. Oh, I didn't realize Whole Foods had some. Oh, there's all these Bs. Why are there all these B vitamins? I mean, I get A. I know that one. I know D. That's real good for you. But B, why are there like 1 through 12? Why do they need so many? There's so many more letters in the alphabet that we're not even using. Well, Everlywell can help you. Everlywell and their at-home lab tests can help you get the vitamins and supplements that are just right for your body and what you need so that you can become a healthier you. Everlywell is a digital healthcare designed for you, all at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you and to get the answers you need, like women's health tests or food sensitivity tests. Everlywell also has high-quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health. Choose from a variety of options, including vitamin D3. Ooh, didn't know that one existed. I didn't even know there was a 3. And omega-3 fish oil. A lot of 3s coming up. Here's how it works. Everlywell ships products straight to you with everything needed in one package. To take your at-home lab test, simply collect your sample and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to the certified lab. Your physician-reviewed results get sent to your phone or device in just days. And you can share the results with your primary care physician to help guide your next steps in your healthier life. If you order vitamins and supplements, you can start adding them to your daily routine right away. It's so simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everlywell to support their health and wellness goals. The thing I was most impressed with Everlywell is how fast the results come. When you send in your sample, you get your results very, very quickly, much more quickly than I was even getting them from my doctor. It was really helpful to see it all laid out for me and to know exactly what I needed to do and where I needed to go with my own doctor to figure out how to make myself just, you know, peak performance. What's Soren on his best day look like? I want that all the time. And for the listeners of the show, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/QQ. That's everlywell.com/QQ for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/QQ.
Here's two things about me. I have a dog and I don't want the world to end. If you also care about the environment and my dog, consider reducing your dog's carbon paw print with Jiminy's sustainable dog food and treats made from cricket protein. Jackson loves his Jiminy dog treats. Fun fact, a couple years ago, I was wandering around Thailand, and I was getting a lot of street food, and they were selling crickets to eat, and I ate the crickets, and I was like, not for me, but you know who would love this? Jackson. Little Jackson would love this cricket. They're delicious, nutritious, and the rest of the ingredients in Jiminy's are plant-based, like sweet potatoes, blueberries, peanut butter, and pumpkin. Jiminy's is easy for my dog to digest because cricket protein contains a fiber that's prebiotic, which supports a healthy gut in your dog. Jiminy's is also good for dogs with food sensitivities or dogs with allergies. Insect protein is considered hypoallergenic for dogs versus other allergy-triggering proteins like beef, chicken, fish, and soy. In fact, veterinarians are using Jiminy's dog food in elimination diets to determine food allergies. Jackson loves his Jiminy's treats. I get him the blueberry ones. I get him the peanut butter ones. He knows it's crickets. He likes it. That is, in fact, part of it. I use it to reward him when he does something well, and also just use it sometimes when I think he's being a good little guy. Like right now, you're being a good little guy. Come over here and get your Jiminy's. To learn more and save 25% on your first purchase. Go to jiminys.com/QQ25 and use code QQ25 at checkout. That's JIMINYS.com/QQ25 with code QQ25. Say goodnight, Jackson.
No.
All right, you little scamp.
So I freaked out the first time I had to do that because I got to the top. I had never, there had been no weight on my harness. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, now just lean back into your harness. And I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, it's just a fall behind me. If I lean back, I know what happens.
The guy who, the groom who taught us there is a teacher in real life, not of climbing, but is like a very good teacher. And you could feel that energy when he is very patiently going through everything. And like, even in the beginning, he was like, all right, I'm gonna have you go up just a few feet, and then I'm gonna have you lean back into the harness so you can feel what that's like, just so it's not a surprise when you get to the top. And so I was prepped for that, thanks to his incredible teaching.
Well, this guy rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. I got up there and I was like, oh. And they're like, let go of the rock, let go. No, I'll just climb down.
I live here now.
I could just, you know, we're not at the top yet. I could just keep going up and we'll see where, like, maybe I could walk down once I get up there. Especially if you ever do like an overhang or like there's any sort of like bulge in the rock where you get to the top and you can't see anyone below you.
Yeah.
And they're just like, all right, walk off the rock backwards.
No, that doesn't feel great.
Okay. Yeah. Like falling, fall on. Yeah. Well, hold on.
when I said the thing about slapping my butt, is that not a thing you do when you're ready to descend?
No, we would say falling.
Oh, we would slap our butts.
I like that better. I'm gonna be honest. I think I might steal it.
I think it's such a like, that's a steering into the skid moment, because the thing about climbing we learned is that everyone who's down below, you're just getting so much ass, and that's one of the issues. If you're up there and you're like, hey, someone take my picture, it's like, no, you want the person taking your picture to be like also climbing and on your level, or someone coming from above, because every shot looking up at you is pure ass. So I think
not flattering.
Yeah, there's no demure way to do it. So I think when I'm at the top, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna slap the only thing you've been able to see this whole time to let you know that I'm ready to come down now.
Yeah, it's hard to get like a good pose for a picture while you're climbing.
Yeah.
You think you're doing like some cool ass shit. Like you're like, look at this little tiny jib that I got my fingers on. Get a picture. And then you see it and it's just, you're kind of like hunched over and like, it looks kind of like you're maybe climbing a ladder. It's just it's impossible to tell how difficult what you're doing actually is. Well, Daniel, you became a mountain man.
I did, yeah.
Not only from this climbing in Fort Collins, around Fort Collins or wherever you were in Colorado, but also because you went on a mountain trip before that, right?
I did. I actually went on three mountain trips total.
Okay.
Before I saw you, I was in Topanga Canyon, which is kind of mountainy, and did a hike every day while I was there, and there was a really cool tree, and I hung out at the tree. I know that sounds very silly, but like the Airbnb listing was like, right in our backyard, there's a 300-year-old tree that was important to Native Americans, and people like get married there, renew their vows there, and they take lots of pictures. You should really check out this tree. And I'm like, bullshit, it's just a tree. And then I saw the tree and I was like, I think I'm going to spend every morning, and I've never done this before, paying tribute and thanking the tree. I think I need to like honor this tree for just being this like a big ass tree. Like, it was a very spiritually moving tree to me.
What kind of tree was that?
Oak. Just a really old ass oak. Yeah.
Okay.
And I love the shit out of it. The other great thing about this spot, I had like 3 days to kill in Topanga Canyon before I moved on to the next part of our trip, which we'll get to later. And I was like, I'm going to spend this whole time hiking and writing. It's going to be a nice writer's retreat, and I'm going to wake up and hike every day. I didn't do a lick of writing. I did a whole lot of hiking and exploring and running. And the other thing I loved about this place, it was like this very old bohemian cottage thing. And when I got there, the Airbnb host was a bundle of stress because
a bunch of things were broken in the Airbnb house, and I recognized how stressful she was, and I was so excited because I never get to be the chill presence for anyone. I'm never the calm one. I can't pull it off anywhere I go because everyone knows me too well for me to pull that off effectively. But I'm a stranger. I'm a complete stranger to this person who on Airbnb goes by the name D. I'm D when I'm on vacation. And she's like, D, I'm so sorry that this is broken, that's broken. And I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. It's fine. She was like offering to give me refunds for things. And I was like, I don't need, this is exactly what I want it to be. You're really great. No refunds necessary. And one of the things that was broken, she's like, the toilet's broken. And I was like, does the toilet still flush? And she said, yes, it still flushes. And I was like, that's what I was going to use it for. So I'm not worried. Remember, I'm very chill. And she's like, I know, I just don't want you to cut yourself on the toilet. I was like, well, in that case, say more. Apparently the person who had used it last had like shattered the top of the tank lid, that thing that comes off and on. And this is one of the toilets where the flusher is built to the top of that. So the flusher still worked, but like the lid was like fucking jagged and gnarly. So like you really did need to pay attention if you were going to sit down on this toilet, which I did from time to time. But it was fine. It was a broken toilet, and then there was also like ants in the kitchen.
And D was fine with that?
D was super fine with that. When I was talking to this woman about the ants, and I could see her like sweating and turning red, and I was like, lady, an old house with a finicky toilet and ants, I've been training for this. You couldn't get a better guest for this kind of situation. Yeah. I'm your guy.
This was your Slumdog Millionaire moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your whole life had led to this.
Yeah. And then after Topanga, I went to Idlewild, California for what, Soren?
Pew, 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 pew. Soren Bowie's 40th birthday party.
Woo!
I realized my voice broke when I said that, and it didn't come off as it's kind of like cool as I wanted it to be.
Sure. But, do you want to do another take?
No. You know what? This is S you're talking to. He doesn't give a shit.
Oh, absolutely.
So we had my...
It's, I feel like I'm back in a 90s commercial for Skechers because it's the S.
I had a quick question for you actually about my birthday.
Go.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I had a fucking blast.
Okay, that's great to know. Because just like at the end of our wedding... I didn't make any, ordinarily when you're playing host to something or like it's, you are the one who organized a trip. During it, one of your main goals is to make sure everyone is like, you're checking in, whether you're doing it in a very explicit sense where you're just like, hey, are you doing okay? Are you having fun? Or you're just like, you're doing a heat check on everybody around you to make sure everybody's having a good time. I didn't do shit. I didn't do any of that. It was entirely selfish. I only did stuff for myself on the trip. And then at the end, I was like, I wonder if everybody else had a good time.
Which... I think it was like a palpably fun and chill time for everyone. You invited a bunch of great people. You got us all little cabins in this compound. So we got our cabins to retreat to. And there was a great outdoor space for food and drinks and hanging out and playing lawn games. And if you ever wanted even more alone time, you could just walk into town and explore this cute little, very specific, artistic mountain town. It was great. Not a single complaint. I was talking about it to everyone I knew when I got back from it. It was just the incredible host. No complaints. My only weird thing, and it had nothing to do with this party, but like two impulses that I found in myself that are difficult when I'm around you in real life now. One of them was when I got there, I had things to say to you, but impulsively I thought, I should save that for the podcast. I should hold back. I haven't seen you in a year and a half. I think this Topanga stuff would be good for the pod. So let me just like keep that in the pocket for a while and not tell him. And the other difficult impulse is the whole time I'm on this trip, I'm thinking about how I would describe this to you on the podcast. Like, well, no, he's here now. But that sucks because this is the only thing I'm doing. This is, if Soren wasn't here, this would be like
an episode's length of information and stories to tell, but now I can't. I'm just like, burning through this content.
You can't ever move back to Los Angeles because the podcast is over at that point. If we hang out, it like the there's this whole thing doesn't exist anymore. There's no point to it. So it was great to see you. It was great having you there.
Yeah.
And we put you in a room that was, I would say, I think after like looking at them all, I decided it was the worst room.
Really?
And, it was so much smaller and the air conditioner was not as good.
Man, I was taking pictures of it and sending it to my friends. I was so excited. I was so excited because the toilet worked and it wasn't full of ants.
You saw that my brother and Amy's room, and that room was, that had like a living room, or that cabin had like a living room and stuff.
Yeah. What was I going to do with that?
Well,
I think it's the exact right size for the amount of space I realistically need.
Good. That's good to hear. Okay, good. And then I also, you got me a present on my birthday. I said that I wanted you to get me something. I said, you don't have to get me anything, but I said, but you should get me something and it should be something that hurts you financially.
Correct.
It didn't matter what it was, as long as it was damaging to you in a fiscal sense.
Yeah.
And you brought me a hat from Topanga Canyon.
It says Topanga right on it. Yeah.
Topanga on it. Mm-hmm. And let me know the trip.
But flying out there. Yeah. The whole thing of it is like, it's your birthday weekend was the purpose for my trip to California, but it was prohibitively expensive to fly in just for that trip. Like the day of the trip, if I flew in Saturday morning, that was a more expensive flight than flying in Wednesday, which is when I did fly in. But then if I'm flying in Wednesday, I have to get an Airbnb for the few days before the trip, and I have to rent a car too. And so I think between like flights and Airbnb and car and like all the restaurants that I went to, the 3 days that I was staying in Topanga, that adds up. And you throw in like a hat at buddy tourist prices, then it's really adding up.
Well,
this was a financially irresponsible thing for me to do.
Right. And I wanted you to know how appreciative I am that you did.
Oh, thank God.
I really liked that you did it, and I'm so happy that you were there.
Good.
And I had a lot of fun. I wanted to make sure you had fun because there were definitely times where I loosed drugs on the crowd.
Yes.
And encouraged, and I said, Daniel, do you want some? And you, without fail, said no.
Yeah, I think I don't know if we want to name the drugs because we're not narcs, and I don't care who did the drugs. Everyone is responsible or a responsible adult, and you offered me a drug that was like to me a scarier drug, and I was like, oh no, thank you. I think if I'm ever gonna try that, I'm not gonna do it. Like, I didn't know everybody here super well, and I was in a new area, and like, I don't want to put a new drug in a new area around new people. That seems like a scary situation to me if I'm having a bad time with a drug. I think if I'm going to do this drug, I'm going to do it, you know, quietly alone in prison. I don't know. Like a controlled situation. So I was like, no thank you to this drug. And then you were like, okay. And you offered me a much more normal drug. And I was like, oh, no thank you to that also. I lied before. It's all drugs. They're all scary to me.
It's just, so everyone knows, it was just crack. It's just like a little bit of crack. A tiny bit that I just wanted Dan to just try.
Yeah. And again, like, if it was just you and me driving around, sure, I'd do it. But we're in the mountains. What if I get lost?
You and me on a road trip, we're bored anyway because we're just driving.
Yeah.
We got nothing else to do. Let's do a little crack.
Come on. We're done playing I Spy. We did all the road games we wanted to do. And now there's crack, and it would be stupid not to use it because it goes bad.
The drug that I offered Daniel first was a hallucinogen, and we were all taking what I thought were going to be very small doses. And as I'm like handing it out, I'm like, "This is how much we're supposed to take. Like this would just be like a fun night. It's not going to get. It wouldn't be crazy or anything, because that's what I had heard from the person who gave it to me."
Yeah.
And
a thing I think should be pretty clear now is that, like, the person who gives you drugs cannot be trusted on what a normal amount of drugs is. They don't know.
I think that should be true across the board. Anyone who's like has the drugs and is giving you drugs, like, they have calibrated their systems to a different amount than you.
Yes.
And so we took it, and immediately, like, within half an hour, 45 minutes, everyone is just like, oh man. Oh man, this is gonna be a night. And they're like, all right, we're all going to dinner. Oh, okay, all right. Let's all go to dinner. And like, so there's just kind of like a cadre of people within larger group who are all very, very, very high at dinner.
Yeah.
Like, really trying to keep it together. And I gave when I was kind of peeking on it, I gave a speech to the table.
Yeah.
About how happy I was to have everyone there, and to also thank my wife, because she organized the whole trip. And in the middle of it, I was just like, I think this is going bad. Yeah. And freaking out a little bit, and then like just like hustling through it, getting through it, and then sitting down. But at the end, I was like, well, you know, you didn't have to do it then. You had lots of opportunities. You didn't have to just do that right there.
I would say no one seemed like they were super freaking out or anything. The only times I felt like I noticed something would be like, I would, on the walk from our cabins to the restaurant, I did one of my bits or jokes to someone, like just, you know, a funny little observational thing. The reason that you want me at a party, people expect jokes from me. And I could like see there was like recognition from the person that a joke had happened, and there was like a little bit of laughter to it. And I was like, oh, they find different things funny right now. They're they're responding to a different kind of thing than what I can give them. Like, this like sharp ass joke is not going to be as interesting as that tree or that sign. They're like, they found a new level of content to explore.
Right. They're, the sunglasses that they're wearing are producing such a fit, like a strange colorful hue on the universe. They're like, oh, you're doing jokes. Oh, that's cute.
We passed a barbershop that was called Mountain Dews, like hairdo. And I loved it so much. And I was pointing it out to everyone. And I was like, what's the matter? Why doesn't anyone like wordplay right now? Why is the wordplay joke not? This is the funniest fucking sign I've ever seen in my life. Why am I alone in this?
The M's were mountains.
Yeah.
It was a good sign. Great. If you're like me, then you bike 3.2 miles to the gym every day, and then you bike 3.2 miles back. And during that time, you're thinking, my bike sure sounds bad. I should get that looked at. Well, you don't have to anymore, because you can listen to your Raycon earbuds instead during that ride, which is what I've started doing. I've been listening to Little Big, which is a band that I found, and I can't tell honestly where they're from. They're super weird, and I found them thinking I would like to use them in an episode of American Dad. And now I can't get enough. It's been great. And what's made it great is my Raycon earbuds, because as I'm riding, I don't get that whipping sound in my ears that I get from all my other headphones when I'm trying to ride my bike and listen to headphones at the same time. My earbuds from Raycon don't have that, and I don't understand why. They just fit so snugly that it's not an issue. Well, we're teaming up with Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ to save 50% off Raycons. Raycon everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Hey, you know what? The copy just answered my question on why I wasn't getting that wind sound. Raycons offer 3 sound profiles to match what you're listening to, plus noise isolation and awareness mode, so you can choose to be immersed in sound or be able to hear your surroundings when you need to. Also, a thing that I think is great about my Raycons is that I'm lazy and I don't plug them in nearly enough, and these Raycons last forever. Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and 32 hours of battery life. Then, when you need to charge, it is super easy. I'm just very lazy. All you have to do, you plug in the little pill that they come in directly into your computer, they charge immediately. And this is a huge selling point. With Raycons, you get the same quality audio as with other premium audio brands, but at half the price. Yes, really. But that doesn't mean they don't last. These are strong earbuds. There are stories about them falling off of buildings, getting lost in the rain and snowstorms, getting stuck in gutters, people coming back weeks later to collect them, and they still work. Check out Raycon's wireless earbuds. My guess is that you're going to want to leave a 5-star review too. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/QQ to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/QQ. But yeah, I had a great time. I had an absolutely wonderful time there with everybody. And then it was exactly the right amount of time too.
Yeah. And I think you did what is like, what must be an amazing gift, because everybody else at that party, except, me, for very cool reasons, was married with children. And for a lot of them, this was their first time away from their children. And that's like, you knew that and did it on purpose and organized this 6 months in advance. And you could see in everybody what like a rare gift that was to be able to sit around and be an adult and not have to worry about kids running around. Everyone obviously loved their kids and talked about their kids the whole time and checked in with their kids often. But it's also like, it's your birthday, but this was such a nice win for everybody. Just a really well put together shindig.
Thank you. And I will tell Colleen that as well, because she was really the one who put it together. But
yeah,
that was a super important thing to me, was that the kids weren't there, because also it's just sitting there and talking with people without children. I was like, oh, I haven't actually spoken to you in 6 years. Where like, I see these people, I see them in my life occasionally, but there's always your attention is divided and you can't like have like a real conversation.
Right.
You can get into something, but it needs to be something you can walk away from at any minute when your child swallows a thing.
Yeah. I thought it was very strange and very telling at one point where you're like, so Colleen, where do you work now? What do you do? Are you still mostly doing the same stuff?
Yeah. What's up with you? Have you you happy where you are? yeah. It was so much fun. It was such a blast for me. Yeah. And I got to like it just like getting ready for it, knowing like, okay, these are the games I want to bring. I brought games that we never even ended up playing, but just like, yeah, I knew we wouldn't get through everything, but just I wanted to have it all ready. I had the Slack line. We never set that up.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm mad about that. That would have been fun. But I don't know when we would have done it, because it was really,
yeah,
a chill but still like packed weekend. There was still stuff to do, and I had a very strange thing for a person to have on their bucket list. But I really wanted to run with a friend of yours who's like a super competitive runner. I watched him run at I think both your wedding and your bachelor party, and I was still running for both those things, but not running as much as I am now. And I remember leading up to this party being like, is he going to be there? And then looking at the email list, like, all right, he's going to be there. I'm going to ask him if I can run with him. And I did that, which was like I was very excited to be able to run with a very serious runner who was generous and going slower with me than he would normally like to run, and running fewer miles than he would prefer to run. But it was still like, felt very cool to me, like, yeah, I can't wait to go to Soren's birthday and run with his friend from college.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. It's like somebody it's their life. You're like,
yeah,
oh, let me see how I stack up against somebody who's like, this is their entire existence.
Yeah, and he's very generous, where he's a few yards ahead of me trotting along, and he's like, what do you think? Should we turn back down? I'm like, yeah, I think maybe turning back would be good, if you don't mind. We both made this decision together.
Yeah, he is that's my friend Will Mead, who is an athletic phenom. Like, there's never been a sport that he is bad at. And he's like insanely good at everything, and not just the macro skill stuff. Like, he's good at basketball, he's good at football, he's good at ultimate frisbee, but also like very minute stuff. Like, if you were going to play beer pong with him or something, he'd be like, oh, I don't know, I don't really play. And then you start playing and he'd just be like sinking everything, because his hand-eye coordination is just excellent.
Yeah, accumulated a very specific group of friends, and it was never more clear than you took us on a hike and then a picnic at the top of the hike, and then you and your college buddies, it was like four people, all very fit, all very nice, juggling. Like, this is a very I'm so glad you all found each other in college and stayed close. This is an incredible.
Well, first we threw
specific
rocks at a stump.
Yeah.
First we had a competition to see who could
that
hit
game
a stump
for a while.
Well, everyone else just sort of waited.
Yeah. We all watched you play throw rocks at stump. and then you all juggled for a while.
And then everyone just started juggling, yeah.
It's great to see you thriving exactly where you belong. You found your tribe.
Thank you.
It was also two other things that were great. One was, I talked to a coworker of yours who said so many great things about you at American Dad and how confident he is in your position there in ways that I don't know if he says it to you, but he's like, I think Soren's, he's like in his, he's secure. I think he's really, he was really bragging about your latest script.
In a way
that, that felt good for me to hear as your friend. And the other thing I didn't know until this trip was, and I like, I knew you were good at your job, but it's still cool to hear from someone.
No, it's always amazing. Yeah.
Who's just like, hey, I don't know if you know this about your buddy Soren, but he's kicking ass at his job. And I'm like, I assume, but it's validating to hear that. But the other thing, I didn't know how fucking fast your wife was. She and her college friend were talking about competitive races that they used to do.
Yeah.
She's running like sub 5 minute miles, like a fucking maniac. Holy hell.
Yeah. Yeah, she used to, her and her friend Meredith, who was also there, they used to run D3, but they were an insanely good team. It was like a weird circumstance where a bunch of these women all fell into this D3 school, but should have been like D2, D1 runners.
Yeah.
They ran track, but mostly it was cross country. And in cross country, they excelled. They were so good. And it made them a little crazy during it too, you know, because when you're dedicating yourself to a sport and then you're also doing school. And then I was like, hey, and you want to be my girlfriend? There's like another thing there all of a sudden where I didn't realize the damage I was doing, where I was like, oh, we're going out tonight. And she's like, I have to run at 6 a.m. and then again later that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I don't. So let's go. Like forcing her out. So yeah,
it is a very specific thing. Like when Meredith was talking about, there was a time where they thought they would just be runners professionally. That is a different world. There are not many people who are runners professionally.
I mean, I don't even know how you'd make a career. I guess you'd have to win events, and that's...
Yeah. And get, like, sponsorships or go to the Olympics? I don't even know.
I have no idea. I have no idea how to do that. But yeah, it was like their world for a long time, and then they just
very cool.
They gave up on it, and they've like found other things to be obsessive about.
Yeah, now she's the fastest at throwing birthday parties for you, Soren. How does that feel? You robbed the world of the fastest woman alive.
Sir, I will say that when we sat down to dinner the second night, we had a room at a restaurant that was for us and our big group at a giant table. It was really nice. And then these menus came out and they said Soren's 40th birthday menu. And it was like this decided on menu based on meals that she knew I liked and that we thought other people would like. And I was like, oh boy, what did we do for your 40th? Because at this point, like, she found the place. She found the place where we stayed. She found the restaurant. She'd been talking with them and there's like an attitude in Idlewild of like, let's just see what happens. And yeah, that's
very,
not what she wants
a very
for a party
place.
Of 13 people.
Yeah, of course.
Where she's like, I'd really like to confirm that we can get catering on this day. And they're like, well, yeah, I mean, it's 4th of July weekend, so we'll see. And she's like, no. Hard verbal confirmation would be better. But she spent so much time like organizing this thing in addition to her normal job, which takes up a ton of her time. And I just... I'm so lucky, so lucky to be with her. But yeah, I had like these moments. It's like a moment like when my son was born where I'm like, oh my God, you're kind of a superhuman.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to be with me?
Now, I wonder if she second guessed anything because she sets up this very specific menu with your name on the menu and went to all these lengths. And then to see you finding so much joy throwing rocks at Stump, she must have been like, why the fuck did we even leave the backyard? He's going to be I could just stick him anywhere and he's happy. Why did we do this?
Yeah, I should ask her. I should ask her if, like, at any point that was disappointing to her.
Point a laser on the floor and watch him chase it for a while.
When we first got there, and we were like, Colleen and I went around, and we got there a little early, and we got into all the cabins and turned on everybody's air conditioning so that it would be nice when they got in there. And as we're like going in, she's looking at the rooms like she's just like, that's not right. That's not, oh, why is that like that? And like, as people start to arrive, she's almost like apologizing as people are getting in about stuff that they haven't even seen yet. And I like pulled her aside and I was like, Colleen, everything here is incredible.
Yeah.
Don't apologize. Like, everything is perfect. Don't apologize for anything. This is exactly what it should be. She was like, you think so? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I would have loved my cabin even if I hadn't just come from one with a violent, dangerous toilet.
Yeah. It was, there was also like a communal area where we were that was just like perfect for our size. It was just, she did the best. She did the best thing in the world.
I felt bad, but not bad for like the one party at this
Airbnb
campground. Yeah. Airbnb. They stayed in the cabin and they weren't part of us. And you just have to sort of not give a shit about them. We were never rude to them or anything, but like, I almost wanted to say like, hey, I understand this is your vacation, but like, we're going to be in all the cool areas the whole time. And that's all there is to it. And you're welcome, but you're not welcome. And I'm really sorry about that. You're going to see us have a lot of fun in the best spots. And I'm going to stop thinking about you when I turn my back right now.
That's good to know, because that's how I felt the whole part, the whole party. I was like, well, I hope you're all going to have fun, because I am. And then I did. But yeah, I really appreciated you coming, Dan. Thank you so much for having me.
It was really, really a blast. I had so much fucking fun. I want to steal it for a future party, my own self. And,
you should.
Probably will.
If you do it, I will come.
All right. Hell yeah. Well, I mean, that's not as big of a thing as when I came for yours.
Hmm.
But so you're
going to
do something else. Well, it's a travel thing. It's like you'd have to do something that costs as much as flights and Airbnbs and takes as much time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't think so? I'll let you know. You know which direction the Earth turns.
Sure.
Flying from the West Coast to the East Coast actually takes a little less time, but flying home obviously a little bit more time because you're flying with the Earth moving. So there's like a lot to be considered.
Yeah.
In terms of my time.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I would probably go out there and get an Airbnb or something, and then I would go to your party. So we can see how it shakes out at the end. We'll just put the two time consumption.
No, okay, I can see what the confusion is. Options. I'm doing exactly what you did. My party is in Idlewild. I need you to take as much time getting to Idlewild from Los Angeles.
Oh,
as I did.
I see.
Maybe that means you walk there. No, no.
You have a lot of friends who you do a Poconos trip with. I thought for sure. I just assumed. Oh, no. This will be an East Coast thing.
No, I'm gonna have Colleen plan mine as well, and I want her to make Soarin' menus again. And do just about everything exactly the way that you did it.
I would
same
love
people
that.
Too. I liked those people. Those were fun. That's a fun group.
Yeah. So that was the other thing. Is like that group is not a group that all is like they all kind of know each other, but not everyone in that group is super tight with each other.
Yeah.
But they're all tight with us, and so that way it was much like my wedding as well, where I was like, no idea how this dynamic will shake out, but it's all for me, so I'm just gonna do it.
Should we get to wrapping up this episode?
I think we should.
I don't think. Oh yeah, 50 minutes. Okay, yeah. I hope. I wonder if this will be alienating. We talked about climbing as a hobby, and there was someone who reached out to us who was so mad that we spent too much time talking about golf. A person who, I think if I'm quoting correctly, sat through so much. I put up with so much already, but then you talked so long about golf that I couldn't take it anymore. And that's a direct quote from someone who used to be able to follow me on Twitter.
I think moving to something even more esoteric is a pretty good bit.
Okay.
That if we just continue on with climbing now.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good bit specifically for that person.
If every episode we just list different mountain towns. It was like, man, the golf thing was alienating. All right. Let's get back to basics. Nature we can all agree on, right? So I was climbing the Gunks. I was scaling Half Dome in Yosemite.
Yeah, our next podcast should just be about like different types of kayaks.
Yeah.
Like other stuff that just less than 1% of the population is doing. all right. Well, you can follow Dan on Twitter at @DOB_Inc, except for that guy, because I'm pretty sure Dan probably blocked him.
Yeah.
You can follow me, Soarin, at Soarin_LTD. Or you can follow Quick Question at @QQ_Soarin_and_Dan. You can also contact us there. My DMs are open. I'm going to explain right now. I'm just going to say it. You want to come in there. You want to say something. You don't like something on the podcast. You're allowed to tell me. You're allowed to say what you want.
In
my
your DMs
are open.
Oof.
Yeah. You don't have yours open?
No, I mean, it's mostly, I briefly opened my DMs, and because of the job that I do, it's a whole lot of people who want to pitch to Last Week Tonight. Not necessarily commenters, but a lot of people who are just like, you need to talk about this very sad thing that's happening in this part of the world. Oh, yeah. And I understand, like, you're trying to get the word out, but, like, yeah. our HR policies or show policies, whatever, are so specific about, like, I'm not even supposed to read a pitch from someone.
Right.
If I'm starting to feel like it's supposed to be a pitch, like a friend of mine I went to college with DM'd me, and as soon as I saw that it was a pitch, I had to like respond to him with basically a form reply that was like, hey, we don't take outside pitches. I'm letting you know that I'm not reading this, and I'm taking screenshots, and I'm sending it to my producer and this other person in HR or legal or whatever it is, because that's our, we're just so strict about like,
right,
where we can and cannot.
For good reason.
From. Yeah. And as soon as I opened my DMs for what I thought was supposed to be love was just a bunch of work and like pitches about the sad news. So I had to close it.
Yeah, I could see. I guess it's different for you. Yeah. I can see how that would dodge.
Right, because you're going to get people who want to say they like you or they like American Dad, and I'm going to get DMs that are like, the turtles are dying in Canada.
Yeah.
You know what's happening?
Greyhounds, when they retire from racing, there's no system in place for them in society.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I don't know what happens. Is it good?
Tell me it's good.
I bet it's great, right?
Our email is qq with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. We have a sound engineer and editor and just generally great guy. His name is Gabe Harder. Can't find him anywhere though, so don't even try. We also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/quickquestion. And our theme song is by Me Rex. And you can find Me Rex's music at merex.bandcamp.com.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts, I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.